have to preach because I know that by the time I get here, all of you will say everything I want to say. So I'll be very free. Amen. I was surprised. Funny, I was the one that sent out the Bible study. So I was surprised when everything we were saying was going towards everything. I was laughing. I said, no more. That's how God will have it. Because when he was dealing with me, I was like, these things you are telling me to say, I don't think it's... So when I got here, I sat down and everybody was talking. And then Setman came and then he spoke about the vaccine. And I was like, Father, thank you so much. Amen. So continue to be in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And these things are not light. They are very heavy things. Some 2 weeks ago, I was having a chat with my PA. If you don't know, then you don't know. I was having a chat with my PA. My PA was struggling with vaccine, you know, and I sent her a video. And very soon, some years to come, okay, so when we say very soon, I mean, Jesus is coming. It's how many years now? Very soon, we probably will need phones. You understand? We will need these devices very soon. I'll just say, call Setman. And then it will ring. I won't say that. I'm just telling you that can happen. I've seen a video. Can you help me put that video on? If you can, let it be in the background. I've seen a video. A lady wanted to take a picture. And all he needed to do was, like, I'm looking at Paul Jikutu, and he was snapping. No camera. Amen. There was no camera. Biotechnology will give room. I mean, when we started, we thought it was the email. Everybody thought it was the email. You know what the email address was? But when you're going to get that email address, you need to register. Abi, you need to register. You put your date of birth. You put everything about yourself. And some people just tell everybody everything, that I'm the first one and the last one in our family. I am this, I am that. And they record everything in a database. And you see, you keep wondering, where is all this data going to? It's a machine. A machine is going to contain everything. Hallelujah. And so one day, somebody just called me. I'm surprised. He's not surprised. There's data somewhere that you have given out. There is no surprise anywhere. My sister-in-law was complaining about a device, I think, for the sake of a brand. It was a device. Says if you have this device in the house, it listens to your conversation. And then suddenly, when she's talking about something, suddenly on her computer, it pops up. Maybe she wants to buy a brand or something. It just pops up. And she's like, how did this happen? Then she remembers that this device in my house, this thing listens. So every time she wants to say, she will tell you, stop listening to my conversation. I say, what's the problem? Switch it off. Abi, why must I command a device I bought with my own money? I say, stop listening to my conversation. We'd rather kick it out. So one day, we were talking sensitive security matters in my living room, and the device was there, and I put it off the wall. I said, so that it will not come and pick me. Hallelujah. And so I think this one needs to go out as well. Setman was talking this morning, and he spoke to you about chips. They will be implanted, and it's no joke. I mean, I sent it to my PA. Can you play this thing while it's so that I can speak? So this is this guy. Can you see it very well? And right there in his hand is his phone, and that's his bank. And you can see that light blinking in his palm. You want to see it? Can you see it? Can you see that light blinking in his palm? Is a chip. Okay, can you start it again? Very quickly so I can go on. Can you see that light blinking? That's in his hand. That's a chip that has been placed in his hand. And that chip has every information. So we don't need to wait till next month so that you can see it. And it's communicating with his hand. This is happening, right? It has been happening in Sweden since 2015. And they are going to very well. I mean, you just need a proof of concept. After the proof of concept, I mean, and then you have to be careful. Your lifestyle. You have to be careful with these children. Hallelujah. Because they are the ones that go experimenting. There are a lot of cartoons out there that infuses people's brain. But this man is explaining. It's just that I don't have audio. He's explaining. And that's the procedure. They're going to fix the chip into the hand. Okay. And then she's going to go into any shop and do anything at all. You may stop the video, sir. Thank you very much. I just wanted to show you that it's not that they are saying it is real. And you can put on the light. And it's real. And it's going to happen. Okay. But the reason why I said you are not going to experience this is that you are not going to be here. You're going to go with the first flight. And that's why when I want to travel every time, I go with the first flight out of this Lagos. I say the first one is the best. Amen. Hallelujah. I think Pastor Took sent a video yesterday on the WhatsApp group about this vaccine, and you need to go look at the video. It's very important. Sometime last year, in December last year, we had a very hectic time with two loved ones. They were at the IDH. They were hospitalized. And the evening when they were taken to the IDH, I got a call from all over the world that this is where these people are, here at the IDH. And so we had a video call. And when this man talks about the picture of death, I actually saw the picture of death over video. And my wife was like, let's go. I said, where are we going? IDH. You know what IDH? Infectious Disease Hospital. I said, if you go to IDH, we are not going to IDH. I said, whatever we are going to go in IDH, we will do here. Because if I go and see the person that is struggling with his life, what am I going to gain? I said, rather we stay here and we do what we know to do. We'll pray. Hallelujah. Amen. And she wasn't happy with it. I said, that's how it's going to be. And so we started praying. I called the children, they prayed. All of us were praying. We prayed for like 30 minutes. And within that space of 30 minutes, as we were praying, the Lord spoke through one of us and said, I saw a dry leaf. And as we were praying, he said the dry leaf came back to life and it was all green. And then we stopped praying. And then we started giving God thanks. And then at 4 a.m., that was around 10 p.m., 4 a.m., I got into the car and I told my wife, I'm going to the hospital. She said, but you know the one that said we're not going? I said, this time, I am going. So I went to the hospital, and then I had to go and help out. I went to the hospital, helped out, and then when I came back home, the fog machine. When I wanted to enter my house, they put fog machine. I was spraying me from head to toe. So you have gone to the IDH, you cannot come back like that. What I'm saying is that when you love people, the culture we have been given is that when we love, we show face. Everybody rally around and say, the IJO you are supposed to have, I don't know, help me out, this one's IJO, Setman. If you don't have money, empathy. You know what empathy is? Care. So if you don't have money, you'll be able to care, at least you are there. Is able bring CB, you bring spoon, bring plate, you bring plate, go and buy mercy, you buy mercy. That's a definition of love. But you have something greater on the inside of you. Amen. On the inside of us, it lies there. Hallelujah. And if you care for anybody, let it be from the instruction from the inside. This idea story I was telling you, when we were praying, it was not me that saw the vision, and neither was it my wife. Hallelujah. But we were praying, we saw it. The lady saw it and said, the dry leaf came to life. And I said, that was all we needed to. We prayed until we got that answer. And we were not praying in fear. We were singing praises to God. I saw the picture of death. And I was practically dead. And I said, this, you know when they begin to tell you the numbers, and this number is this, this one is that, this one. I said, I don't understand these things. What I don't understand is that we can pray. And we prayed. And when we got there, when I got there 4 a.m., you know, said you have to go and do dialysis, blah blah blah. I went there, we picked him back to the hospital, and for about three weeks, he was there. Amen. And it was, some people could not enter the room. You know, they could not enter his ward. I was laughing, and then he want to eat. So if they could enter to see, but he wants to eat. So was all this. I beg, he will eat, and we watch him eat. And then, so for some funny reason, he says, if he doesn't see me, he will not eat. Amen. Hallelujah. But our life is a light to the world. Hallelujah. And you need to be careful your lifestyle. Amen. You need to be careful your lifestyle. So you don't end up with chip in your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't end up having to be like, there's so much trouble. Amen. So that you can go with the first flight. Hallelujah. We read this morning about not being equally yoked with unbelievers. It's very, very important for us. See, the things that we do, everywhere we go, can Jesus, can God be proud of it? So you need to ask yourself, can God be proud of it? You know, my wife was telling you that she went for a function And then she came back. I was even laughing. I said, you didn't go for any function, no. When she came back, I said, why are you back at this time? He said, I didn't even know that all this trouble happened there. But your lifestyle, you need to ask yourself, what I'm doing now, will Jesus be proud of it? I'm not saying I'm not saying what will Jesus do. What I'm doing now, the company I'm keeping now, if Christ were to come, will he be proud of it? Amen. You know, when Christ saw Nathanael, or when he told them to call Nathanael, and Nathanael came to him, do you know Nathanael? He's one of the disciples of Christ. So we'll be doing Bible quiz. I have a friend. He's one of the, Protestant churches. Every year they do Bible quiz. Every year she sends the Bible quiz to me and say, we have quizzes. I say, you have done this quiz for how many years? You should always be the champion. I say, no, they bring different questions from the Bible. So if I say you should name the five, the 12 disciples, will you be able to name them? So when he saw Nathanael, you know what he said about Nathanael? He said, I saw you under the fig tree. And then he said, this is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. As in John, I think John chapter 1, 43 to 51. He said, this is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. That is a report from Christ about someone that's not yet born again. Hallelujah. Because he was calling him into his fold. Amen. And if you read all the 12 of them, if you read their life, if you go into the history and read their lifestyle and how they all ended up, you marvel at it. I mean, we know John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, maybe because they wrote scriptures for us to read. But Nathanael was a disciple. And when Nathanael was going to be killed, he was so strong in faith. When he was going to be killed, he was skinned alive. He said they flayed him. I had to go and check them. You know, I'm not a good English student. No, I read. He said they flayed him alive. So I quickly went to check. They skinned him. Like when we kill Abu. Abi Ram. When we kill Ram. And we don't want to burn it with kerosene. Then we take it. We blow. Is that we cut it open by the leg, let me say leg. You put a stick inside, then you blow it. Yes, now. Oh, by running. No, get on layer. And on money. So you blow it until it's well blown. So either you scrape it, scrape off the air, or you decide that you're going to scrape off the skin. So that's how they killed Nathanael. But I'm saying this is the record that Christ had about Nathanael. And Nathanael was like, how did you know? He said he was under a fig tree. So I was searching. So what was he doing under a fig tree? I mean, he was not idle under a fig tree. He was under a fig tree. He was relaxing, whatever. But no one thing about all the disciples of Christ. They were expecting Christ to come. So let me open John chapter. Before you say, this man is just talking. Praise God, hallelujah. How many of you remember Brodipo? You know Brodipo? You know his dad is Oga? His dad is Oga. So this is our first chief usher protocol. Before he handed over to his lieutenant. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 43. It says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow him. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Amen. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than this. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. Hallelujah. What I want you to take note of was what Philip told Nathanael in verse 45. Philip said, we have found, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. Hallelujah. So I can't come to deep one and say, I've seen him, the one that Jesus he wrote. This conversation meant that both of them understood the fact that Moses wrote, the prophet spoke about Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. So there's an expectation. Hallelujah. And so in their day-to-day life, whatever they were doing, fishermen or whatever, they still understood the fact that the Messiah was coming and the prophets had written it. Amen. Because a lot of us hide under the fact that we work, okay, we are busy, hallelujah, and then we don't know nothing about what the scripture says, and therefore we have no understanding of times and season. So when we see things, it becomes a problem. Okay, when we see things, we are blown this way, and then we see we are blown that way. These men were professionals. I mean, we understand that Luke, I think it's Luke, they said it's a doctor. But he still read, okay, that the Christ will come, the Messiah will come. Hallelujah. He was not a doctor, and he was not a doctor and oblivious of whatever was going on spiritually. Hallelujah. A lot of us hide under the fact that we are doing one work or the other, and we live a careless lifestyle. Amen. A lifestyle that seems not to know that he is coming. Amen. A lifestyle that seems not to know that he has come, and then he is coming again. Amen. So we are careless. But we cannot afford to live a lifestyle anyhow, a careless lifestyle. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to live life understanding truly what is coming and how he's coming and how he's going to come. So when Nathanael said to him, I said, you are rabbi, you are the son of God, you are the king of Israel. And Jesus said, it's because I told you what you were doing before now. So what did he say? He said, I saw you under the fig tree. And then Nathanael, that was when he believed. Okay? But that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that Nathanael was not living a riotous life. Okay? He was living he had an expectation. And when the time came, Philip could go look for you and say, the person you have been looking for is here. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have a lot of distractions in this age and time. And many more distractions will come. Okay? Many more will come to test our faith. See, persecution comes for the world's sake, right? It will come. How firmly you stand is what is important. And you need to understand that the lifestyle you live has to be embedded in the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, maybe the way the medical people went about the vaccine, maybe it's the one that caused problem. But if my stance today is that I won't take the vaccine, and somebody threatens it me tomorrow that there is no work for you tomorrow unless you take the vaccine, how will such a person, and then I go and take the vaccine? If that person doesn't go with the first flight, how is he not going to live without the chip? Do you get what I'm saying? So if you threaten somebody now, if you don't get this vaccine, there is no work. And then it was in the first instance, I was like, I'm not going to get this. I'm not. Then you begin to understand, what happened? Because he has to eat, then there's a big problem. You have to be firm and firm in whatever you believe in. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, our life is a life of purpose. And at certain times in the life that we live, what we are supposed to be doing will change. But doesn't mean that your purpose has changed. Okay? So there'll be a time you'll be taking care of children. After a while, you move on to something else. But the one thing is what you were doing before, that care you were giving will still continue along the line. But it may not be children. It may be some other people. So if you will be continue to live, first is that you must tell, what is my purpose in this life? Hallelujah. What's my purpose? Why am I here? If you cannot answer that question, then you cannot but live a righteous life. Because when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. Our life is hid in Christ. We need to find out that purpose. Amen. When Jesus will speak about, when the Bible talked, when the Lord was going to speak about David, he was looking for a king. He said he was looking for a king, a man after his own heart. In 1 Samuel chapter, 1 Samuel 13, I think, let me see. 13:14. Okay, yeah. 1 Samuel 13:14. Okay, let me read from 13:13. He said, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" Amen. Hallelujah. He says, the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. So, Saul was still king, but this was a message being passed across to Saul. That, you know what, God is done with you. He has found for himself a man after his own heart. And what was David doing? We all know that it was David that succeeded him, Abby. Right? What was he doing? He was a shepherd boy. He was there in the wilderness. But despite the fact that he was there in that wilderness, he was also, God could say of him. So God has said two things of two different people, of Nathaniel. He said, "In whom there is no deceit." Okay, and then here he's talking even not to David, he was talking to Saul, that I found a man after my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. If your heart will constantly seek God, whatever your hands find doing, it's not your hand that is your heart. Abby, how would I say it? Abby? Whatever your hand is doing, it does not stop your heart from relating with God. It doesn't. Because you are tripartite. You are a soul, you are a body, and then you are a spirit. It doesn't stop you communing with God. And it doesn't stop God telling you the things to do with the things that you are doing with your hand. Let's not always form busy when it comes to God. But even if you form busy, create that time for God. The other thing is, don't deceive yourself. He said, Nathaniel, in whom there is no deceit. The first, you see, before you deceive everybody, you will have deceived yourself. That's the truth. So if you make up your mind that if I tell them this story and this way, it's going to work out this way, and then they will believe me, it will gel. The first person you deceived was yourself. Because you told yourself a lie. Okay? That if I tell this story, you know the age that we live in. So people are very careless. On their social media accounts, they tell, my wife is in Philadelphia. Yeah, he has left a setting on. Then when he comes back, I say, my wife. So I was Philadelphia. I say, I didn't go to Philadelphia. But your social media account, because it tracks you, because he leave it on, it tracks you. Some people forget. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when you want to deceive another person, you have deceived yourself. You can't deceive God. God looks on the inside. Man looks on the outside. But if he could see Nathaniel, a man of no deceit, but Nathaniel was not deceiving himself. Even when they told him that it was Jesus Christ, he had not believed totally. Otherwise, Christ would not have told him that it's because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree that you believed. Do you understand? So to himself, it was true. He must have been asking himself, how am I sure it's him? I'm just saying. I didn't say it's written in the Bible. At least we read it. But a question or an interrogation must have gone on the inside of him for Christ to have replied him and said, it's because I told you that if I saw you under the fig tree, that's why you believe. Because now said, oh, you are a rabbi, you are this thing, after he told him that he found him under the fig tree. You have to be true to yourself. And if you will be true to yourself, it has to be in line with God's word. Do not be unequally yoked. I mean, please always try to make Sunday school. Please. It's very important. Always try. There are times that we cannot relay and replay. And I'm very happy that we are not recording it. I'm very happy. Don't say I'm wicked. No. When we go to school, Abi, where's Mr. Luwadari? Will the teacher record for us? They won't. If I don't get to first period, whatever he has said is gone. So I will go and meet, let me see, where I meet. I'll go and meet Toby. I said, Toby, please, what did they say? And if Toby is kind enough, she will just be able to say, they said, do not be unequally yoked with. If you are not, I said, if you'll be kind enough, you are not kind, you will not tell them anything. One man of children in God's house, please be kind. So, you know, when I was the tertiary institution, I had a turbulent year three, a turbulent one. So I won't go to class. I won't go. I'll collect notes, I'll look at it. I won't understand. Sometimes I won't be able to read the notes. And then I go sit for an exam. And I get to the exam. That was the time I slept off in the exam room. Because I could not. I looked at the questions. I said, where will I start from? Question one, blank. Question two, blank. Question three, I've never heard of it before. Question four, and they said, answer 3 out of 5. And I looked at it. Question one, I was still trying that, okay, sigma, omega, alpha. And then I got stuck. And then I put my head on the table. And then I do stuff. And then the vigilante came, papa, young man. I said, I don't know this thing. I don't. So just leave me. I'm trying to recollect. Amazing. Abi. But if you don't tell you these things, I'm not a superman. No. I grew up just like you people. I was troublesome, but I didn't smoke. I never smoked before. And I don't drink. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't say, those things I tell you. But the ones I did, I will tell you. I was not going to class. So if you don't go to class, there's nothing you are going to recollect. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So please, try and make Sunday school. There are some things we will not hear again during service. Okay? Everything is by grace. So you just make it a law that you try. And there's nothing more important than for us to gather on a Sunday morning or on a service day. Because you are going to feed your spirit man. And when you feed your spirit man, you are going to. Because, I mean, you cannot come here to church, hear whatever you hear and go back and not make use of it. Then what's the essence of coming? Then don't come. Then you are deceiving yourself. But if you come, make use of what you hear. Because we read the Bible, we open it, and we look at it together. I've read it for you now. If anything I've said is outside what the Bible says, you can easily tell. Amen. That's why I opened John chapter 1, so that you can tell that there's a Nathaniel, that God said, in whom there's no deceit. Jesus said, in you there's no deceit. But when, if you'll be able to bring anything to mind, it's the things that you have heard or the things that you see. So it's important. It guides the way we live. When you understand there's a purpose, okay, and there's a reason for everything, Nathaniel would not have been querying it if he did not understand that the Messiah was coming, his rabbi, he would teach all things. He wouldn't have been querying it. But he had that wealth of knowledge. Where did he get it from? He must have read it in the synagogue or wherever, that this will happen. Amen. Hallelujah. In Psalm 119, I read from verse 9. Psalm 119 from verse 9. It says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. Amen. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to God's word. So, if we say, what are you going to gain in the club? Then there's nothing there now. What's there in the club? The club I used to go when I was a boy is not the same club that is here now. The club I used to go was like a recreation club where they go and play tennis, play football. If you are bored, you go to comic shop, you read comic, you see Tiger and everything, you read it. The clubs that are around now, they are full of all the moral things that you can never think of. Because there used to be one near my house. They will play music from morning to night. You can't hear what they are saying. And then the neighbors are complaining. And then you see all manner of girls coming. All manner. They dress in all manners. So, some will not wear clothes. Some will wear. It's true now. So, I mean, when I was growing up, I've never seen the world like this before. When I was growing up, my mom would wear dress suit and skirt suit. I never saw anything mini. It was until we got to maybe SS1, SS2, that life started turning, and then you began to wonder. People are now very courageous. They can decide, and they would tell you the reason why. I need to be free. What are you being free for? Go and wear boo-boo. If you have to be free, wear boo-boo. You wear gown and let it be free. Don't expose your body. So if your lifestyle, I mean, if you're wearing anything, how you dress matters a lot. If you are going to wear anything, let it be that you will glorify God. I think the best thing for you is to just wear boo-boo. It's very free. If you want to dance this way, the boo-boo will flow that way. If you want to dance this way, it will flow that way. Hallelujah. It's true. There are things, there are pointers. Those things point and say volumes of who we are. Hallelujah. And so if you say don't go to club, then you say, hey, what's it? It's just club. Nothing. Nothing. Have you heard Setman talk about the fact when he went to Abuja and he had to speak in tongues and get it behind me because somebody kept disturbing you and saying, can I keep you company? You don't want company. Yeah. If you want company, take your phone and be playing game. It's true. So if you cannot watch over your own life, how will you watch over somebody else's life? The only way, the Bible has given us a prescription. That's what we call it. Abi, when you go to the doctor, you prescribe. He said, how will a young man cleanse his ways? That's what it says. By taking heed according to your word. You see, these words are very important, but we should take note of them. Taking heed is paying attention. And paying attention is not that it flashes by. You look at it critically and you decide that you follow it. Taking heed is an intent. I don't know how to say it. It's very intentional. You have to take heed to what the word says. If you say you are born by the Spirit, then you live by the Spirit. And you will have every cause to take heed. So the things that should interest you is what is God saying about this thing. Amen. Why would we say don't go to club? I wish I could bring that boy here. He used to play for us. Play keyboard. You know, I'm like what's my name now? Who found Nathaniel? Philip. Abi? So me, I'm like Philip. Sunday is like Nathaniel. So one day in my office, he was busy singing on the corridor. He was busy singing. And he was disturbing me because I was trying to concentrate. He was singing. And then I had a nudge in my spirit. Why are you disturbed? Call this young man and let us have a chat. I said, so what happens? Do you play or do you just sing? He said he plays all kinds of instruments. Abi, that's what he told me. He plays all kind of instrument. I said, okay, so come to church. He said, okay, we'll come to church. And where is that Dari boy? the same way we found Dari. So, it's like that biggest like. So this boy that came to play in church, play. After he finished playing in church, he would go and play in a kind of shrine. You know shrine, what do you know shrine? All those clubs, he would go and play in the club. After a while, he moved his belongings and moved it to club. So that kind of lifestyle, when Jesus should come, will Jesus say, I can see this boy in whom there is no deceit? In that boy, there is deceit. You play for God on Sunday, and then you go play in a club through the week. And then when we want to lift holy hands, you come and play for us. His mind will be, you know, I don't know how to say it. They say there are synapses in your brain. So they are like this. They come like this. So his own will be doing like this. Because he will try to tune to church, then he will try to tune to the outside. When they would deal with him in the outside, they packed in the place he was living in that club, they packed everything that he owned in his life. They packed it. Those, of course, the club boys needed it now. Of course, when you go to club, they will need to pay for certain things. They packed everything. And then he came looking for me. Don't come and look for me. Oh. He came looking for me. That day, I had to part away with 1,500 naira that I did not plan for. Don't come looking for me if you will not stay where you're supposed to be. It's true. Now, when he came to me, and then he left my office, and I entered Kai. Kai now put him inside Black Maria. Pastor, why? I'm inside Black Maria. I said, what? You have just come with one trouble that they packed all your things. You are inside Black Maria. And me, the last set of people I want to talk to is anybody law enforcement. Because there is nothing logical about talking to them. They just have their set mind. They say, you are taking it to Alausa, it will cost 50,000. I said, oh God, you see that Alausa? You are not going. Here, you will find a solution to it. Amen. But I'm saying your lifestyle, if you live a lifestyle, it will save everybody the stress of having to find a solution for you. Even yourself, it will save you. So if you say don't go to club, it's because it is little by little that people drift away from God. It's little by little, people drift away. And it's not only about club. When you go to a certain place, let's say business, and they're going to be very cunning about it, crooked ways, you need to step aside. Amen. You see, they say the best teacher is experience. But it doesn't have to be your experience that should be your best teacher. When people speak and talk to you, they talk from the place of experience. So that's experience that should be your best teacher. You don't have to be... when you say... when people say it's not easy, or when people want to get married, and you tell them, you don't have to do a lavish celebration for your wedding. Just calm down. There are a lot of things in front of you that you do. It's a lifetime thing. You say, no. I want my wedding to be the best. I want this. Okay. It's not my money. But I will tell you, it is not worth spending so much money. What it is worth is that vow. Are you keeping that vow? That's how much it is worth. That you want to do prosperity and all that. It's not worth it. They say, no. I say, I'm talking to you for a second. I want to experience it. I didn't have a problem getting married. Though. My in-laws are very good. They're very, very good. They say, we are the ones that own the bride. So we are going to sponsor everything. I said, I'm good. No problem. So they say, we'll sponsor everything. I said, mm-hmm. Say, it's our daughter. I'm good. So they say, all we need is you should come and your family and all that. So I went back home. I said, Mom, they said they will take care of everything. My mom said, lie. I said, Mommy. They said they would take care of everything. They said, no. I said, the food is for everybody. They said, no, we want. So she came. I said, she gave me a list. I said, she's going to make this, make that, blah, blah, blah. I laughed. I said, Mom, I don't have a dime for any other thing apart from these materials of dowry. I said, and it's not that I don't want to give you. I don't even have. At that time, she didn't even know. I had not even bought suits. It was Friday before wedding. I said, I don't have a dime. So if you want to cook, if you are not satisfied with what they said, if you want to cook, no problem. But me, don't disturb me. My only headache is to get this woman, sign these papers, and go. Every other party you want to do, it's not my problem. Say, okay, no problem. They cooked, they brought it. I didn't eat. Neither did my wife eat. Did we eat? We didn't eat. And so when I was done, so what's of what essence? So everybody will eat, then we emptied the pocket. So we went for honeymoon. Experience is best teacher. It let the experience come from somebody else. All of you that are not married. I think I thank God for Foluke. Very sharp. That girl, we are on the internet. Don't let me say it. Very sharp. I said, Foluke, you cannot afford to make noise. I don't want to make noise, sir. I said, fine. I said, this is how we do it. He said, very well, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is there a way we can reduce the bill? I said, very well, we can reduce the bill. I said, I just want 10 people from the groom side. And then, I said, no, 10 people will not work. He said, sir, no. I said, 10 people will not work because our family is very large. So let us increase the number. But after the one we do in hometown, we are not doing anything again. He said, yes. When we learn, when people, men of God, tell us their experiences, especially when it comes to the word of God, it is important. You don't need any other experience to teach you. Fly with it. Because the word of God is there. Hallelujah. If our lifestyle is consistent with the word of God, then things will work for us the way it's meant to work. These are the times we need to ask ourselves, this thing that I am involved in, I don't know what you're involved in, and I don't know who is involved in anything, would Jesus approve of it? Amen. Hallelujah. We may not all have the opportunity to hold the mic that I'm holding it, but we have opportunity in our different households, and we have a life that is exposed to every other person around us. If people cannot point to you and say you are a Christian, then there's a problem. Amen. When you say don't be unequally yoked, when I was in university, my friend was going to CACSA, CAC Student Association. When you see him, when you are going to lecture, we are coming back. When he sees anybody from CACSA, he says, Brotune, good afternoon, sir. I'll be working with him. I said, we are your fellowship. You don't know, bro. I said, me, they can't call me bro now. I said, why would they call me bro? So that if I want to display, I will not be able to display. It's true. So we don't call ourselves bro. When you get to fellowship, Muwa. And up to now, I don't even like all those titles. Muwa is Muwa. But everybody was they were looking at the two of us. And you know what the funny thing they said? They looked at it that if Tunde is Muwa's friend, that means that Muwa must be in tune with God. Are you understanding me? He said, if Tunde is Muwa's friend, so everybody looked at Tunde, is brought Tunde, is Kaksa. He said, if Muwa is Tunde's friend, then Muwa must be in tune with God. Because I don't go out, I don't do anything, and I don't smile, so they couldn't place me. I mean, there was a day in the room, they went to him and said, how do you talk to this boy? He doesn't smile. The guy said, no, it's not that difficult. You can ask him anything. And truly, I'm not that difficult. I think it was Gary. We used to put Gary in a travel bag. Then we put the travel bag on top of the wardrobe. So I think they needed Gary in the room. And Tunde was not around. I was the only one around. So all through the 6 hours, they were hungry. They could not ask me for Gary because I won't smile. Then when Tunde came, then I went to him. Said, Tunde, we need Gary. He said, why didn't you ask me? I said, He does not smile. Hallelujah. But I'm saying his own lifestyle. From his own lifestyle, they could place who his friend is. And up to date, if they are looking for me in class, they will look for Tunde. They won't look for me. Because I was just myself. I'm a very shy person, don't forget. And I do not go out of my circle. If you don't believe it, you need to believe it. I don't talk. Hallelujah. But the lifestyle we live is very important. So Tunde's lifestyle was a blessing to me. Is your lifestyle a blessing to somebody else? If you are going to go to school, if you are going to have exams, Tunde will call me and say, let's go. Let's go and pray about these exams. I said, Tunde, if there's nothing in the head, there's nothing we are praying about. It's true. if there's nothing in the head, there's nothing. He said, I said, this one, I was sleeping. What happened? Why did everyone open up and pour everything in my head? I've not done what everyone said I should do. God blocks with what is in our hand. Nothing in your head, nothing will happen. So a lot of people have a misconception that if they spend all the time in church, okay, then all the problem is solved. If you spend all the time in church, God gives you solutions to different problems. He tells you the things to do. If you don't do those things, then nothing will happen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let your lifestyle speak volumes of the God that you serve. Hallelujah. You should speak volume of the gods that you serve. When I was going to marry my wife, they said she's princess. They said she's princess. I said yes. So when you marry her, you'll be prince. I said yes. But that's not the funny part of it. But you know that they're from a royal family. That's what I want to tell you. So if you say you are of God, then they should know that you are of God. So if you want to do anything at all, when grandpa dresses up, you will know that grandpa is a traditional chief. And that's why he has the title of a prince. And so I'm prince here, prince there. By virtue of association, Abby. But what we hold as Christians is far greater. So if people will point to you as a child of God, it is not by the words that you speak, it is by the life that you live. A lot of us don't like discipline. And order is number one in heaven. I mean, and for maybe you should know now that if you are not disciplined, you cannot follow Christ. That's the truth. So if you say you are following Christ and not disciplined, you are not doing everything Christ is telling you to do. Indiscipline is disorder. And if God will say in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, he said everything was formed and without void, and he called things into order, then why would you not choose to be disciplined? If you are a Christian, you don't have any other choice than to be disciplined. So that's why it would be odd for you to go on the road and see Christians shouting and swearing. Even if it's being pressed on every side, it's just going to be calm. If you are not yet calm, pray for grace to be calm. Hallelujah. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't put yourself in trouble. I put myself in trouble several times. I'll tell you that story another day. I put myself in trouble several times. You don't get unyoked with them. Because they will do things. And then when they do those things, you are going to share out of whatever blame that is going to be there. When we were in school, we used to play marbles. You know marbles? You would dig the... Set one, did you play marbles? I'm not alone. We dig the ground. We'll take marbles. And then we'll play. Sometimes you have to bet. And the boys that I was working with, they were the boys that wanted to happen. They were the ones that taught me to bounce. So we were, no, you cannot be working with us and be working like this. No. You have to show them that you're hard. No smiling. And then you bounce. I said, yes, sir. I'll bounce. I bounce. But in my arms. But then if you look back, I say, so what was the essence of bouncing? But that's what we do when we go meet with unbelievers. They will tell you, they will convince you that, you know, this thing is not, it's okay. Someone say you're sitting where they're smoking, saying, no, I'm not smoking. It's just hurting my nose. You will die faster than the people that are smoking. It's true. So until one day I decided that no, I'm not going to follow anybody again. If they need anybody to lead, I will lead them. And so even when we got into trouble and nobody will stand up, I'll stand up and say, I'm the one that did it. I was not even born again. But I just look at that. What is the essence of all this trouble? You as a Christian, you owe yourself the truth to be truthful to yourself. Don't be truthful to me. Don't be truthful to certain man. Be truthful to yourself. Why? Because once you are truthful to yourself, you'll be truthful to everybody. If there's a pain, and you do not admit that there's a pain and cannot find a solution to that pain, you'll be lying to yourself. Our lifestyle should speak volumes of the God that we serve. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's rise on our feet. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 8. It says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." What report will God give about you? If you ask yourself on a daily basis or regular intervals during the day, you find yourself doing the right things, and you find yourself doing the things approved of God. So, because when you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. So, if there's anything that's to be corrupted, it's because you are sowing to the flesh. Let all your sowing be to the Spirit, and you reap everlasting life. And the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as so as through fire." Amen. So it says that you build, okay, and then you should build on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, hay, or straw. You have to determine how you're going to build on the foundation. When you build and you stand the test of time, then you get a reward. Hallelujah. Amen. So let it be constantly before you, the purpose for your life, and what will Jesus say if he should approach you physically? What will he say of you? Oh, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, because indeed, as this seed has been sown, it will germinate. It will indeed bear fruit in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Let's begin to prepare.